Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the Dudes and Beer podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host. With me tonight is Julie Connolly, our great, awesome new addition, the ballast to the show, as I put it. She is the one that keeps us even keeled and not getting too crazy with things. And she has managed to book us a fantastic guest. We love having tech people on. We love having innovators, people that are coming up with new technology, creating new apps, putting new things out there. And with us tonight, we actually have Brian Pietravalle. Thank you. I'm sorry. My handwriting is atrocious, Brian. So Brian Pietravalle from LensFeeder with us. And we'll get into LensFeeder in a minute. It's a really cool app that really allows for a lot of cool options. And I think people will be pretty amazed at what you can do with it. And we'll get back to that right after these messages from our sponsor.
Have you ever thought about brewing your own beer? Is the urge to brew there, but you just don't know how to get started? Well, Dudes and Beer is here to help. Stop on by the new Dudes and Beer Amazon store and check out all the great brewing supplies and gear today. We have it all, from instructional books and do-it-yourself kits for beginners to 16-gallon cooking vessels, carboys, bottling supplies, and cleaners for all you homebrew pros out there. Everything you need to brew your favorite beverages, even distilling equipment. So stop on by the official Dudes and Beer store today and get your hand on the greatest new brewing essentials. Simply visit dudesandbeer.com and click the Dudes and Beer store tab. Once again, that website is dudesandbeer.com and click the Dudes and Beer store tab today. Happy brewing, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.
And we are back. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about, first off, give us a little bit about your backstory. You know, how did you come into the tech field to begin with, before we get into LensFeeder and its creation and everything else? Tell us a little bit about you. How did you come to your career?
Okay, sure. And first off, thanks a lot, Chris and Julie, for having me on. I really appreciate being here. How I started in tech, it's sort of a roundabout way, but actually most of my background is in finance. I was an investment banker in the oil and gas space. That was my last job in finance. Before that, I was a consultant in project finance, so that's sort of finance focused in infrastructure projects. I started in tech because a couple of years ago, if you remember, oil prices were just plummeting, mm-hmm. and I was just really looking for something else to do, something to take my mind off of, you know, the fact that all our clients were disappearing and prices were good. So I just started with online program like Code Academy and a few other places like that. There's one called Treehouse, and slowly over time just started thinking about business ideas. And Trisha, my wife, and I were just talking about different apps, whether or not they exist, or different possible technologies that are out there. And we came up with this idea, and after looking around and not really seeing it out there, I just decided to go all in and leave the finance sector and just focus on learning how to code and how to put the project together.
Wow.
So that was a few years now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And like you said, you're self-taught. You know, you didn't really go to college for coding or anything like that. You had a career in a totally different field and kind of turned on a pivot and went a different direction with it. And I love those stories. I love hearing about people that had a flash in their brain and really had the opportunity and the volition to follow that through. Because it's not easy to really pay attention to that or to really like see a large reaching scheme of things. You know, to see the efficacy of doing something like that can be really hard and challenging. So I laud you for doing that.
Thanks. I mean, I just tried to be like as unintelligent as possible, because it's, when I stepped back and tried to think of how much was required to put the, you know, just to get a simple app running, even, you know, even not even a business idea, but some simple, like a to-do list or some sort of, you know, like a simple email application, even to get yeah. that running, it takes a long time. So I think just taking small steps and, you know, we're just finding the right people to listen to. It's helpful. And then if you don't get too overwhelmed by it, you can actually, yeah, you can definitely get something done.
Well, and tell us a little bit about what you have gotten done. Tell us a little about the concept behind Lens Feeder, how you came about with the concept, and what you did to implement it and bring it about.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So Lens Feeder is a map-based live video platform. Users request live video by GPS location, and anyone on the platform and nearby the requested location can claim the request and start a live feed from their mobile phone, and it's networked through our platform out to the other users on the other side. I started thinking about it. Really, it was sort of through the oil and gas. When I was in the oil and gas industry, there were a lot of times when I knew people were out in the field,
yeah.
They were near a location that I needed footage. I wanted a live feed for. Like maybe one of our clients was thinking about buying the asset, or maybe it was one of our clients that was trying to sell it, and I was just trying to get a PE fund or an interested party to just at least take a look at it. I always knew there was someone out there, but I just had no way to get in touch with them. So that's kind of how I came up with Lens Feeder, just a way for people to collaborate together to get live feeds of areas that are, you know, otherwise are too remote or are inaccessible.
All right. And you know, it's really interesting that you bring up the application that you did, and the progenesis of the idea that you did, getting footage out in the field live. Being able to do that kind of stuff is invaluable if you have a rig or something like that out in the field that has an issue, to be yeah. able to literally have one of the rig hands go out with Lens Feeder and be able to live feed it back to the office to an inspector yeah. or something like that. That's pretty incredible. And at the same time, being able to actually communicate back and forth with that person.
For me, I mean, I think the live video space, I think it's really just starting to heat up. I mean, we've seen, you know, Facebook and Twitter are moving towards becoming, the next gen TV network. But there's a lot of other room to grow. And I think this live video is a great way to get data in the hands of people that can diagnose a situation. So I guess the best case that we have of this, our best industry that's really made use of this, is maybe healthcare. But there's still a lot of other industries that could use it too. So
yeah,
I think there's a lot of room to grow.
Well, and yeah. You know, what are, I guess, for the common person, for the regular person, I know right now y'all have Lens Feeder for iOS, and you are presently working on an Android version. Is that correct?
Yeah. There's still some Java to refactor, but hopefully we'll get that out this quarter.
Okay, fantastic.
Trying to work out all the bugs for with the iOS users, and then we'll open it up to Android, and also looking at other clients as well, other platforms as well.
Well, and you know, when has it officially launched already, or when is the official launch of the whole product line?
I should get better at answering these questions.
the curveball.
uh, So the first release was in February.
Okay.
To the App Store. So all the release, and we just came out with another release in the App Store yesterday. There's still, if you look at the release numbers, I mean, the version is still, we still consider it a beta version. A major release, hopefully, by the end of the year, but we're not rushing. It's been a soft launch, so we're marketing it to a few use cases, different groups, but there hasn't been an official launch party. I guess that's what defines a launch. Official launch.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to say is that there are still some features we want to implement before we say it's before we have an official launch. And also, I don't want to have a major version release unless we're sure that everything's fine with infrastructure to handle a high volume of. And I mean, to date, we haven't had a problem, but I'd like to leave our code open for. To be improved as we slowly add users in, but so far we've been happy with the tests we've had. A couple hundred people using it in feeds and lots of subscribe minutes. But to really go to launch full time, we want to make sure that everything's working.
Yeah, and I mean it does take a lot of. Even the other day with I know. Whenever we spoke previous to the show, I was telling you about Breach.tv and some of the issues that they'd had. Uh-huh. And even just the other day, hanging out with Richard, I was uploading some stuff. I was like, well, hey, let's see what your server can handle real quick. And I literally opened up, I literally opened up like 10 windows and started uploading like 10 720p videos.
How'd it go?
It maxed out. It started kicking me off after a little while, and it was funny because we're sitting there watching the server in real time and he's like, oh man, I'm trying to give more resources to it. but literally, like, people don't understand. It literally takes you breaking the system. In order to find the pathways around it, in order to find the right programming to get rid of glitchy things, to make things stream as well as possible, especially whenever you're talking about streaming live video, you're talking some pretty crazy encoding decoding. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, because it happens in near real time. There's maybe a second or 2 second delay sometimes,
sure.
But it's almost real time. So it's really tricky to get it right. Especially, I mean, there's just the thing is that we're worried about is, I mean, there's so many different, and I mean, I guess I can say this, I don't know. I mean, there's so many different kinds of devices and platforms and versions.
Yeah.
We've bought a bunch of phones to test, but there's a hell of a lot out there in the market. So we haven't tested on every conceivable version of, the iOS or.
Oh, sure.
Or
sure.
Available. So, so.
Yeah. And every screen size and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, but so far it's been working well. But hopefully after this podcast, we'll get some more users. If your listeners break the platform for a little while, I think we'll learn something from it.
that's kind of my goal with anybody that I have on is that I don't know if you're if you're a Coast to Coast AM listener, but. Whenever Art Bell used to be on the air and he would have somebody come on with their new website and everything, like, yeah, we just launched a website. And he's like, okay, here we go, folks. And like Coast to Coast AM is literally the largest listening audience in the world. On from like 10 to 4 a.m. or midnight to 4 a.m. and it's millions of people around the world. So literally they got nothing better to do while they're listening than dial into your website and go check it out. Yeah. And it was frequent that they would be like, oh, I'm sorry. We are now getting server errors. We've broken your website. we have given you entirely too much traffic and flooded it. And I'm still waiting for that day for right. Dudes and Beer. I've actively had viral attack, which is a cool thing. That means
really cool.
Well, yeah, it kind of is because that means that, like, if you're getting enough traffic, to get hacked?
Yeah. That's
you know, that's kind of a compliment.
But seriously, stop doing it.
That is one way to take it.
Yeah, yeah.
I, however, will not take it as a compliment.
No, no.
We're not inviting hacks.
No, we aren't inviting hacks.
Lens feeder.
No hacking lens feeder, folks. But feel free to try and challenge the lens feeder server with, you know, length of upload, length of stream, all that kind of stuff, because it does make a difference. You know, depending on whether you're streaming live for a minute and a half or whether you're going live for 15, 20, 30 minutes. Now, let's let the listeners here know a little bit more about some of the really cool features. There was one in specific that we were chatting about beforehand, and I don't know if you've quite launched it yet. What about people getting paid for streams?
So that we will release that once we have sort of not a critical mass, but
yeah.
Once we have a sustained user base, we will, because that's kind of the point is that users, it's fair to compensate people for their time, and I think it's a good way to it's also it's a good way to motivate people and also a way for people to make a couple dollars when they're at a location that someone else is interested in.
Sure.
And so once we have a larger user base, and we'll start opening it up slowly to publishers that have a sustained track record.
Yeah.
Of getting all feeds. There's a review process, post feed. I guess similar to like getting using a ride sharing app or something like that. You just submit a fee. So we're looking for the publishers that have high sustained records and that are interested in, and we'll probably start in specific areas, like, I don't know, Times Square or different capitals around the world, but then slowly release it out.
Sure.
That's sort of one of the main features that we want to make sure is in place before we have a major release.
Yeah. And you really do have to make sure, like I said, that the coding, everything else is right before you start making that happen. Because that's a whole nother ball of wax and can of worms in and of itself. And how you take care of that. What are some of the things what are some of the options that you can utilize? Because unfortunately, I am an Android user. I'm a PC guy, but Julie is a Mac.
Which is why we had to call on his phone, because the new iPhones don't have a headphone jack anymore.
I still have an older iPhone, so I haven't seen that, but yeah. Oh well, but so some of the features, we want to make it as easy as possible for people to use the application, the service, without having to have the app open at all times. We don't necessarily think that you just have to have the platform open and staring at the map looking for feeds to pop up. So
yeah,
probably the easiest thing, we let people create what we call our map captures, which are basically snapshots of a Google map, and then whenever a feed pops up in the area, they'll get a push notification right away. We have another similar service in place of, you can add different geotags, so if you're looking for specific things, short words or phrases, when someone starts a feed, they generally will add a description of what they're seeing. So if any similar geotags show up that match whatever you have in place in your settings, then you'll again get a push notification. It just helps people set up their account and then just wait, rather than having to keep going back and checking. So that those are in place right now.
Yeah, and you know, I really do like the GPS feature and the geotagging, where you can be in a location and be like, oh, this looks like a hot spot. I'd like to see this again if there was some cool stuff going on. you know, and say like you're out near the beach and hey, it's 4th of July. You know, I geotagged that beach out in New Jersey. Let's see what the 4th of July celebration's like. And you can see if anybody out there on that beach in New Jersey is actively like feeding anything to Lynn's feeder.
Yeah.
And yeah.
The actually, I mean, a beach is a good example for it. The, we've had a lot of success talking with people that are interested in, I guess, weather-related events. So,
oh yeah,
specifically, yeah, specifically with beaches. I mean, it's just surfers that want to get good data, good visual data on what the beach is like or what the different beaches are like. And it's easy enough. Of course, you know, if the surfer's at the beach, they might be in the water and not really in a place to. You know, show, to like to provide a feed, but there's enough people in the area that it's we've gotten good traction with it. So
nice.
And it's it's not, if you look, there are a number of companies that do surf forecasting. It's definitely a science. I mean, it's like,
oh yeah,
it's like being a weatherman or whatever. And there are a lot of companies that have static webcams in place, but again, it's a small fraction of. The beach that's out there or all the different breaks that are out there.
Yeah. Well, and even to that note, you know, it didn't even dawn on me whenever we were talking on the phone in the pre-interview and I was just throwing things against the wall with you to see what sticks and stuff. But it didn't even dawn on me. You should completely and utterly contact NOAA. You know, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association. I bet you that they especially with things like what just happened in Canton, stuff like that, even news organizations to be able to get like you know, like storm chasing groups, that kind of stuff. That's invaluable scientific footage
and
to be
Richard
able
and
to
Charlie
get.
Would love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hopefully some guy. There's one guy at weather.com that won't return my phone calls, though.
Oh, maybe what a fool.
What's his name? Should we email him?
Yeah.
We should hack him. Let's hack him.
Well, we can take care of weather.com.
No, you're definitely right. You're definitely right.
Yeah.
And it's not, again, depending upon the network, I mean, the footage isn't necessarily footage that a news organization would want to take to broadcast with. If you know, if we let them work,
sure,
like, you know, clips, but it gives you, there's a lot of data that you can get from just seeing it, and you can quickly get footage from a bunch of different angles. So,
Well, and even if it was something that, you know, they were to put out, you know, like you said, eventually it would get to the point where feeders in certain area who have good profiles feed on a regular basis, things like that. I mean, heck, a news organization could go out at that point and say, hey, if you're in this, I noticed that you are geotagged in this area. There's a major storm going on. Can you get us some footage outside your window? You know, it's stuff like that. And it's, I see it just in the industry that I'm in as some amazing, amazing concepts, even with corporate AV, stuff like that. It's, you've really, I think, opened a nice Pandora's box, let's just say, of possibilities that could happen out there for those of us that are into live feeds.
Which I think is like everybody now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's really been interesting. The trend of these things that has happened over the last few years from Vine to Snapchat. I think Vine's dead now.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah.
It died.
Yeah, it's gone. There was one that I know my cousin was actually seminal in helping to come up with, which was called Color. And that was one of the first like live feed things that was out there. I think it may have actually been absorbed by Facebook for their live stuff, if I'm not mistaken, something along those lines. But
your cousin's on a boat somewhere right now.
Right. Take us with you.
Well, she moved to California from Maui. So.
So she's doing all right.
Is that a good move?
She's doing all right.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I don't like your cousin.
Right? But it's, well, you know, it, It's interesting though, because we all find our different route, we all find our different way.
Exactly.
And yeah. You know, I love the way that you have come up with something that through the field that you were in, you saw an actual practical application and use for a technology, zeroed in on that, A, made it possible, and B, have tried to bring it to the common person.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think there's a way that initially I thought it was going to simply be a paid service. So, but I don't think that's necessary. I think there's enough room to grow that people that want to use it casually can use it for free. The way the industry's been turning, I think there's a lot of room to grow for any casual user as well.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that. It's something that, like I said, with the verve that was Vine, and things like Snapchat, Facebook Live, even Twitter now has a live feed option, if I'm not mistaken. I think so.
And
YouTube, and of course there's also been a couple of troubling things with that. Just things that have happened recently, headlines in the news, things like that. But it was interesting to me that, and I was very happy to hear whenever we talked pre-interview, that you are preemptively trying to take care of that stuff, and you are preemptively trying to put softwares into place to locate and recognize things.
I think all the violence that's happened. Yeah, I think first off, I think even the LensFeeder platform, we're not allowing playback right now, so there's no archiving, no saving. It's similar, yeah. So I guess to Snapchat. So I think we can prevent a lot of. It won't be a catalyst for any sort of violent act, because for someone that wants simply recognition for doing something awful, I don't think we'll have that problem, because once it's done, it's not going to be seen again.
Yeah.
On top of that, there's a lot that we're doing it's basically like machine learning for video. So you can start to train your service to decide whether or not something should be viewed or not. And that's what we're doing. So I'm sure whatever Facebook and YouTube are, it's far beyond whatever we've got going on, but there's a lot that we can do just to prevent. And even again, just going back to we have records of publishers. So
yeah,
we can tell whether or not, you know, what someone's inclination is going to be. So now, having said that, one use case we would like is for, sorry, there's a little feedback, but
we
would like is for war correspondents or you know, it's where there might be an instance where there is violence, but it shouldn't be stopped immediately. So we're trying to figure out how to handle that. But
yeah, well. And you do definitely have to get those things in line. You know, you got to make sure that legal P's and Q's are squared away, that kind of stuff, and that you're covered on all ends. We talked to some about that the other day, and I don't want to get too deep into that, because it's a lot of inside baseball, and really not only that, but gets into some of your proprietaries, which you really shouldn't get into. That's just me. I don't like giving away like proprietary information, things like that, you know. There are some things that are best left behind the curtain with the wizard.
Yes.
So but with this app coming out on Android and stuff like that, how are y'all looking to bring awareness about? How are y'all, what is the campaign looking like right now? Are y'all looking at like what I did with the Dudes and Beer app and just put it out there and see how many people just start downloading it? Or, you know,
well, Chris, I'm just trying to get through this interview.
Yeah.
Look ahead, Brian.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
Okay.
No, well, you're doing well.
So we have a small following growing on Facebook, and we're trying to use that to help implement or fix features that are in Lens Theater. After that, I'm reaching out to potential users. So again, as I mentioned, the surf community, locating those trade associations or different surf schools that are interested.
Sure.
And few other use cases for us are tourism and real estate. So we've spoken with different realtors or real estate teams that.
Oh like yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, to help buyers to take a look at neighborhoods, mm-hmm. or sellers to show off their neighborhood. I think it's crazy that we buy houses by just just going through the neighborhood. I mean, there's a lot of data out there, but I think there's still a lot of help from just actually getting a view of like what the neighborhood looks like on a deal, on a random day. Like,
yeah, not staged.
Before buying.
Yeah, exactly. I actually shot quite a few videos for a Remax a Remax office out near Katy, doing virtual home tours and stuff like that, and voicing over the basically just a video home tour, that kind of stuff.
That's a big market now.
Oh, it's huge.
Professional film, yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about that on our last episode, actually, with drones, that people are using them for real estate purposes.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. That's funny, though. Like, if you saw like drone like coming through your neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And like that's sort of like that. Those are like the first sign of the new neighbors, right? Like,
well, can you imagine there being an official like parade of homes drone? And people are just sitting at home watching it on Lens Feeder, I really don't want to like go to the parade of homes and like walk,
like somebody,
but I'd like to check them out.
I'm in. Well, I will watch that.
And I guess that brings up a question. Now is there a desktop platform? At least for watching. I could understand why you would specifically not want one maybe for streaming, because that's already there. Like we were saying in the pre-interview the other day, there are so many services that are already doing that. There are so many people that are already, just doing the gamer thing of a camera and talking to a camera. You wanted to kind of try to avoid that, but... What about somebody who is trying to check the Lens Feeder feed on their desktop?
Yeah. No, that were, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, that works now. That's live.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Most of our energy is right now is spent developing the app. But the browser works for, setting up requests, setting up map captures, which
are
sort of snapshots of your. And then also, of course, watching these.
Yeah, and I guess without having the app, can you start an account? And once you download the app, is your account cross-compatible?
It is. So you have to register in the app right now. And to be honest, it's just because the app looks better than the browser. So
sure.
I want to make sure that someone's first impression comes from the app rather than
yeah, because your product is truly the app.
Well, and it's a good looking app.
Yeah, it is. It's really sharp. The navigation on it is fantastic. It's very intuitive to get around. There's not a lot of scrolling involved. I can't stand an app with a bunch of scrolling.
It's addictive, right? Like I like open Twitter and I just start scrolling and
All of a sudden 20 minutes go by.
Exactly. And, you know, but I'm one of those people that if I didn't, even as an Android user, if I didn't have the app, can I go on to the website and view feeds?
I should.
Okay.
You should release that, but right now you at least have to sign up on an app.
So
it doesn't have to be your device. You can just register, but right now it's still closed. There's a senior developer that's helping us, you know, just making sure we don't get too hurt. But and that's kind of one of the consultant's main drives is to open up the browser a little bit more. So people that don't even have accounts, let alone an iOS account, can at least see the feed. So we could implement that. It's just a matter of time. I don't really have a reason not to, aside from the fact that I'd rather drive people to the app first.
Sure.
At least for now. But
yeah.
But
You know, I was going to say one thing I would consider is the possibility of being able to actually, because I just started using an app called Crowdfire that lets you basically post the same thing to numerous social media sources at the same time. And it'd be pretty sweet if you could partner up with some of the social media sources to be able to provide lens feeder feeds onto pages where people could basically feed through lens feeder to numerous accounts at the same time.
So you're saying, because what we are testing is, we could stream from lens feeder onto Facebook Live.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's a different, it's a different protocol, but
yeah.
It's not, it can't be live. There's usually about a 15-second delay, but
yeah.
It's more or less live. But we are testing that. But
awesome.
Is that what you're...
Yeah. No, exactly. That's exactly what I was getting at. You know, just to sweeten the pot a little bit more for people, because, like I said, everybody loves their social media feeds. They love doing that kind of stuff. But to be able to, like with Crowdfire, what I love is that I can make one post to, let's say, promote this episode of the podcast. And that post will go to whichever timelines I want it to go to. Amongst my Facebook timelines, it will go to any of my Instagrams. I can put in all of my accounts and literally choose which ones it's going to post to. And then I can choose what time it's going to post.
That's great.
And it's really great, you know, as far as trying to socially market stuff, trying to catch trends, things like that. But to be able to live post to two platforms at the same time with a video app would be pretty remarkable. And even to be able to use Lens Feeder to be going to Lens Feeder and Facebook at the same time is pretty remarkable in and of itself.
Yeah, we're trying to decide where it fits in our platform, but we're testing tech that we, you know, won't be implemented for, if it is implemented, for probably at least a quarter or two.
Absolutely.
It's pretty remarkable that, you know, that someone can just put this stuff together. I mean, there's so much technology out there that you know, there's a lot of instruction too. I mean, a lot of because it's sort of the standard path for a programmer is they get a job, they work a couple of years, and then they want a promotion, so they either start a blog or they go start speaking at conferences.
Yeah.
So then guys like me just watch those and are able to learn a bit. So
there's
a lot of instruction out there. It's really helpful.
You know, and I tell people all the time, just a couple episodes ago, whenever we had Todd on from the Go Hunt Life podcast, I was like, you know, I taught myself to read schematics and design circuits off of Google. Of simply doing Google searches and learning it. Same thing with WordPress. I learned not just how to build WordPress websites, but like actually go into the CSS and start changing the code and stuff like that, and the PHP coding and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing the resources now that are there, even with YouTube instructionals, everything else, like you said, to be able to go out and teach yourself these things. That's the amazing thing here, folks, is not only did Brian have this incredible idea, he went out and actually taught himself to make this idea a reality. And that's pretty incredible. Not everybody has the drive to do that, Brian. I wanted to design circuits, so dang it. I was like, I bet I can learn to read schematics. I bet I can.
It takes a little, you gotta be a little stubborn.
You really do. And there's a certain level of crazy that goes in it too. For the self-employment thing, you got to be ready for a certain amount of crazy in your life. And you really do have to live on kind of that eccentric side of like, ooh, there's an idea. Let's go with it. So on that note, as we wrap things up, give us your one next big implementation that you're going to do with LensFeeder. The app exists. The app is out there. Go to the iOS market, folks. Download it. Check it out. You can start looking at feeds. You can start making feeds. But what is the next launching point? What's the next gadget that's being added onto the Swiss Army knife that is LensFeeder?
Well, probably the absolute next is, for right now, all feeds are public. So if anyone sees it on the map or has a map capture set up for whatever area you're in, they'll get a notification if you start a feed.
Okay.
We will launch in the next few weeks the ability to have private feeds and just invite a few of your friends.
Cool.
So if you're connected with Facebook, that's the next. I don't know if that's blowing your hair back, but that's sort of the absolute next thing that we're gonna release in the next couple of days. But there's a lot more to come. As I was saying, either integrating with Facebook Live.
Sure.
Opening up, adding Android, and those two are coming in the month. But initially, we want to make sure that just because we already allow people to authenticate through Facebook, so we just want to make sure that they can have an alternative to Facebook Live. Because what we found is most people don't like using Facebook Live unless for something that's personal.
Yeah,
something that they'd rather just share with a few friends or just with their family or something like that.
So, absolutely.
This would allow you to have a live feed for just your family, as you know, your son's at baseball or whatever.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, if you're out, if you're out at the dance recital and want Grandma and Poughkeepsie to be able to see it, stuff like that.
And not some random guy in Russia.
Yeah, yeah, not some rando that's just like, oh, look, dancing.
It's dancing.
Children dancing, I will watch, yes?
No, you will not.
No, please don't watch.
Chris, can I
ask? One more thing? Sure, go ahead. Anything you want.
So for private feeds, we will, after that, if that works out well and users like it, we'll open that up for organizations, and then organizations can then charge. So that will be an easy way for us to begin implementing the paid plan, the paid service. It won't be by minute. It will be something like by feed, however.
Absolutely. A single deprecating login, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Same as an Amazon download or anything of that nature, you know, where you basically get a code to log in and then you're logged in. And when you log out, you're out. And I think that's great, especially coming from the musician point of view, the band point of view. for us, even as Dudes and Beer, to be able to say, hey, everybody, if you can tune in with our app, but if you want to see the video feed, feel free to hop onto Lens Feeder, and it's $1, you know, and yep. It's a way for us to be able to use, things like Lens Feeder as a fundraiser. Schools could even use Lens Feeder as a fundraiser at that point to say, hey, Grandma in Poughkeepsie, you want to tune in? $5. Now suddenly the kids don't have to sell dusty ass chocolate to Grandma in Poughkeepsie anymore. And turn, it's all right, man, but don't lie. You're turned into a friggin' shill at your office.
Oh, I know.
My mom sold wrapping paper for the drama club. Yep. You know, we sold chocolate for choir. We did all that stuff, and it's a hustle.
Yeah.
But instead of giving somebody just like $1 piece of chocolate that's suddenly gone and there's no more chocolate, now they can actually tune into the show and be able to watch the play or be able to watch the thing, and the money can go to the school, the money can go to the program, things like that. Yeah. So, you know, it opens up the doors to a lot of opportunities like that. And I'm really, really happy that you guys are considering moving in that direction.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I really appreciate it. I like, we got to do this more often.
Absolutely. No, whenever y'all release new updates, things like that, absolutely, man. We want to hear about it. We want to let our listeners know, especially whenever things go to Android. You guys need to come back on. And at that point, maybe we will even, like, live stream and the episode on Android
right.
While we're doing it. That would be pretty cool. You know, the day that you release it on Android, we can actually do a live episode of Dudes and Beer on Lens Feeder to our audience. That would be pretty nifty.
In the meantime, how do people stay in touch? How do they follow along what you're doing? What's your Instagram? What's your Twitter? What's your Facebook?
Yeah, load us up.
Best way is on Facebook. On Twitter is at Lens Feeder. But everything hits the Facebook page first, which is, it's just Lens Feeder.
Okay.
That's the best way. And then please download the app in the iOS store and give us feedback. There's a way you can submit feedback within the app, and we'll make sure that you're heard. I mean, our soft launch started 2 weeks ago, and we got a ton of feedback real quick, and we made the changes and submitted to the App Store, and it was approved again. I think it was yesterday, day before. So
fantastic!
I mean,
that's pretty quick for Apple.
It's a light day for them. I don't know.
No, I don't know what it is, man. I've published more than one app, and like I number one, yeah, I don't like it because as an app developer, I paid $25 to develop as many apps as I want on the Android market. I could develop like an app a day for the rest of my life and release them on the Android market. But I have to pay money every single year to be an app developer for Apple. And not only that, but like Shakuhachi Jones, my band's app, whenever we released that, it was available within 24 hours on the Android market. And even though it went through the same people to get to the Apple market, it took 3 months to be approved for the Apple market. And I'll be darned if I got 3 months worth of credit for being an Apple developer or for it being on the Apple market. It was pulled off at 9 months. Because I'd paid for a year, and a year from the point of putting it in went up. And that was like, all right, that's pretty ice cold, Apple. I've known more than one person that has had the hang up of the, I mean, you know, and it's their programming. It's the way that things are done on their devices. It's very proprietary. There's not a lot that's open. And you have to program things in a very specific way. For it to go right and for them to fully accept it just like right out the gate. So the fact that you were actually accepted that rapidly, even on an update, is pretty remarkable and means that you're doing something right.
I compliment them in the app summary.
Yeah.
I just say very nice things about them and how grateful you are for looking at the app.
That's smart.
Brilliant.
It's like, yeah, sincerely, Brian XXO.
Yeah. Much love. Well, Brian, on that note, thank you so, so much for joining this edition of Dudes and Beer, talking to us about Lens Feeder, the capabilities, the possibilities that are out there for it, where it might be going, where you will be going with it. And until next time, everybody, make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer podcast, dudesandbeer.com. You can also download the free app on Android and iDevice. You can go to either market and get it. It is absolutely free. It costs nothing. And it is a party in your pocket all day long with me and Julie right there. I don't know if that's really what you want, but it's there. So on that note, again, Brian, thank you so much for being a part of tonight's podcast. Julie, pleasure as always. And until next time, everybody, remember, if you can't be good, be good at it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams and chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for both Android and iDevices available on the Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.